who's down and who Newville were making their list, but some didn't know. Walmart has the best brands for their gifts.
What about toys? Do they have brands kids have been wanting all year?
Yep, Barbie, Tonys, and Lego. Gifts that will make them all cheer.
Do you mean they have all the brands I adore?
They have Nintendo, Nespresso, Apple, and more.
What about...
So the who answered questions from friends till they were blue. Each one listened and shouted, from Walmart? Who knew? Shop gifts from top brands for everyone on your list in the Walmart app.
You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. It's time for our weekly rendition of Alongside me today, I have Grant Bills of the Wisco Sports Show and Paul Imig of Friendship.
Hello to you
both. How you guys doing?
Good, you?
Oh, good.
Wait, can I say, is it just me or when you hear the word rendition, is the only thing you think of take me out to the ball game?
When I just said rendition, I was like, this word sucks.
But you can, I feel like when you said the latest rendition and I finished your sentence in my head of take me out to the ball game, because that's the only way in which I've ever heard rendition used. Go ahead.
Let me type in Google latest rendition of.
Yeah. So
I always hear it a rousing rendition. I always hear it paired with that other word. Maybe God bless America.
When I'm typing in latest rendition of in the search bar, it just automatically goes to latest version of. Interesting. Tim. All right. We are recording this 1 hour prior to trade deadline. So if there is a Packer trade to be had, then Tim will be editing a lot of how this is pieced together.
Yeah, Tim.
If not, like, I'm not going to do a 50-minute interview and then the Packers trade for, well, who are they going to trade for that? It's not like, if they trade for somebody that it's like, oh, they got like this Bears, the Bears traded for some guy who's got like no tackles or no sacks, no tackles for loss. He just like hasn't done anything.
I kind of like that for them. I thought that was a sneaky, nice little move. A little edge rusher. Yeah.
What about when Jordan Love is traded in the next hour?
For Kyler Murray?
Mm-hmm, straight up.
Yeah. And Malik for Tua.
And Tua, yeah.
Yeah. Dolphins would improve in that
You know what? I actually think they would.
So I've been posting some of these Matt LaFleur takes I've had about how I think he is bad at coaching.
I figured you'd start here, and I do, of course, feel like we should start with a LaFleur topic, but if you want to do your thing first, go for it.
Well, I feel like I have to evolve. Not on the LaFleur topic. I think he sucks. I don't even like him as a person.
Same.
But I have to, I've come to the realization that I am just one man. And not that I've ever thought I've had this large platform, but I foolishly have thought that I could be a change agent. I thought that I could be somebody who could help encourage and motivate people to stand in Brewers playoff games, a topic which I've mysteriously just dropped altogether.
Smart. Tim.
And then, because I can't change that. And then there's a particular brand of Packer fan that I'm really, really struggling with seeing in the comments, as it were. And I'm getting so many comments on these Facebook videos. A lot of them are podcast equipment is too expensive because people are not down with my Matt LaFleur bashing.
Okay. Can I interrupt and ask my topic? Because I think it's going to perfectly hit on it. Really, I promise you.
Sure.
I'm surprised. What you're saying is leading me to think you're going to give a different answer than what I expected. For the first time in his Packers tenure, Matt LaFleur's approval rating dropped below 50% with Packers fans. I thought I'm in a group chat with my dad and his buddies, It's a different view into, like, you know, folks you might not normally. And they've been sending around your videos, Bart, and Grant's tweets. I'm like, this is wild. Way to go, guys. But I thought the answer to this question was, Like, this is the first time in 7 years LeFleur's approval rating, as it were, has dropped below 50%. But if you're getting the pushback that now you're implying that you're getting, maybe it hasn't. So now go ahead. And you can answer my question, but also go forth.
I don't think it's below 50% at all.
That's nuts.
I don't know. So I've often got the, well, if you fire him now, who are you going to replace him with? Not my job.
Does that necessarily mean, though, that they like the job he's doing and would approve of the job he's doing?
No. Also, the Matt LaFleur got fired, he'd be hired in 3 seconds.
But you're still getting that even after Sunday?
The one I'm getting the most that I just, and this is why I have to evolve and I have to change, is I'm not going to change this type of fan. And this type of fan exists with all teams, not just Packers. I think it might be higher with Packers because of how much people identify with the Packers in the state.
Yeah.
But there are certain Packer fans that will not criticize it in any way and think that other people criticizing means they're not real Packer fans, and think if they criticize, like, there's going to be Packer police that come into their home, take away all their different Packer memorabilia, and say, you are banned from watching these games. Right. We are going to make sure you don't get the channels. You'll never get a ticket. If you criticize the Packers, you are done being a Packer fan.
Like that's not carrying the G.
No, and the thing that I keep getting in this particular week is, guys, they're 5-2-1. The Packers are 5-2-1. A lot of it is Matt LaFleur's record in the regular season, which I know is good. And I'll say, okay, well, which of your playoff choke jobs was your favorite then? Okay? And then when it's 5-2-1, last week they were saying, Bart, come on, the Packers are the one seed. This week it's, oh, they're 5-2-1. Next week it's going to be, oh, well, they're in a playoff spot. Like, this kind of willingness and eagerness to not take any criticism, it is so infuriating. I can't change it. I just don't understand why we can't see the forest from the trees here. I know they're 5-2-1. I know he's been good in the regular season. But look at this regular season. And I don't think the Packers are going to go undefeated every year. The way they're losing is horrendous because they are playing a different game than the team should be playing. I was reading an article today. I think it was on ESPN, maybe Barnwell, somebody, about how the Packers offense is built for long shot plays. You have a quarterback that can do it. You drafted a receiver to do it. Like, these 15-play, 75-yard, 8-minute drives, that's what teams are trying to do against you. That's what the Panthers did against you. You're supposed to, like, be quick hitters, score 35 points a game. Not that you can't do it if the moment calls for it, but there just seems to be this reluctance from LaFleur to call the game around the team that he has. And it does seem like, and I talked about this Sunday, he is more prone on trying to win a certain way. Like, he wants to run the football. He wants to have short passes. He wants to win, but he wants to win the way he wants to win and not just, oh, we won. And I don't know why. Does he not like embarrassing other coaches? Does he not think that? I don't know why. So my gripe is there's a certain level of fan that I don't belong to. And my real gripe is I've realized now I can't do anything to change it. I do feel more people have an approval rating positively of LaFleur than negatively, if for no other reason than they can't imagine themselves criticizing the coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Grant, I want you to answer from your perspective.
Unless it's Ray Rhodes.
That was a long experiment too. Grant, I want you to answer, but all I would say is I think that once, and not that most Packers fans, those who might keep his approval.
Grant's had a lot of facial work in this episode.
On mute, but doing work on the mute with the facial expressions.
On the Dan Shaney YouTube stream.
Not that most not that every Packers fan or even probably half are on the type of social media where they would see what Greg Olsen has said. But I thought Greg Olsen saying in a very professional way, in a constructive way, Matt LaFleur did a terrible job. That's what Greg Olsen has been saying.
And I watched him the next morning. He was on that Barstool show.
Greg, you're saying Greg Olsen?
Yeah. And he was saying the same stuff. He's just like, I can't.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, again, not that that is going to necessarily influence average Packer fan, but it's going to slowly trickle. And I think, Bart, you went from, like, an island of yourself and 5% of Packers fans, or maybe less than 5%, who, when you were trashing LaFleur earlier in the season and previous years too, you were really mostly alone. You were in, like, the 5%. I thought the tide changed to the point where obviously I asked the question, but Grant, what is your read? For the first time in Matt LaFleur's tenure in Green Bay, his approval rating has dropped below 50% with Packers fans. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm.
I think if you would ask people on Sunday, mm-hmm. I think if you ask people today, 2 or 3 days later, you know, a week later, it would probably revert a little bit farther back. I think the anti-LaFleur crowd is a really loud one. Okay. Like, I don't think the people who still like LaFleur and think he's good are screaming and yelling about it like maybe the other half is. So that matters. Although I know, like, on Bill's show, like, a lot of people don't like LaFleur and they're loud about it, really okay. loud. And then, you know, I think our morning show is probably pretty similar. My show's probably a little bit more down the middle. I think the anti-LaFleur people are a lot louder. But I do think it's closer than 50-50 than ever before. I think the Dallas game and the Carolina game really play into that. And you're right, like Greg Olsen on the broadcast multiple times, like going into halftime, like, why are they running?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Like he was, you know, openly confused with some of the things that they were doing. I also think, like, I'll give the perspective on Sunday a little bit. Like, I think their O-line might kind of stink. Done. And by the end of the game, they had no Kraft, no Golden, no Watson. Wicks was already missing. And I think Matt LaFleur probably looks around and is like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to drop Jordan Love back 15 steps and let him cork deep shots down the seam to Malik Heath? Or are we going to try to, you know, matriculate the ball down the field, which is what defenses are forcing them to do anyway? So, yeah, I didn't love the way the game looked. My biggest complaint about LaFleur is that, like, it was very clear that they understood how Carolina was going to play them. Like, Matt LaFleur said it multiple times. Pam Oliver coming out of halftime is like, I just talked with Matt LaFleur. He said that this is exactly what they expected. I'm like, well, they're down 7-6 at halftime and looked mostly crap. Like, if they expected this and knew it was coming, they didn't handle it very well. I just thought top to bottom, they looked outsmarted and out-prepared and out-schemed. Like, on the biggest of big levels. And that concerns me if my team is supposed to be a Super Bowl team.
The other one I can't stand. I'm sorry, Bart. Was it Matt LaFleur that fumbled? Was it Matt LaFleur that threw into triple coverage? Was it Matt? Like, how can you commend a coach when his players play well and then not also blame him when they don't?
I think a lot
of it's on coaching. In the moment, I blame LaFleur for the Tucker Kraft injury because he was so dead set on running the football. That Tucker Kraft, he got hurt.
Yeah.
Speaking of ridiculous takes,
ridiculous.
If I had any sort of an audience that like some of these other people have, I said last night on my national radio show, which I have, and it is the biggest secret in the world. I mean, I'm putting these reels out and people are like, hey, I wish you were on Milwaukee radio still. I wish I could hear you in Milwaukee. I mean, you can 4 hours a night for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows how long. I cross my fingers. I said, and I prefaced it with, this is ridiculous, but I said, I think if Matt LaFleur was an uglier dude, he would be fired by now. Thoughts?
I think he'd be less popular.
You don't have to answer that.
I think he'd be less popular.
I don't need it.
I think so.
I think he'd be less popular.
If he was a big fat slob with his t-shirt untucked.
The Who's Down in Who Newville were making their list, but some didn't know. Walmart has the best brands for their gifts.
What about toys? Do they have brands kids have been wanting all year?
Yep.
Barbie, Tonys, and Lego. Gifts that will make them all cheer.
Do you mean they have all the brands I adore?
They have Nintendo, Nespresso, Apple, and more.
What about...
So the Who answered questions from friends till they were blue. Each one listened and shouted, from Walmart? Who knew? Shop gifts from top brands for everyone on your list in the Walmart app.
If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I think a big part of why a lot of Packers fans don't like him is because he combs his hair. And
it goes both ways.
Of course it goes both ways. Yes.
And that always perfect fade he's got.
For what it's worth, I'm one of those people, Grant.
And I another I don't, thing I with just, those
I don't trust,
where,
I just don't I don't trust him.
Where it goes both ways, it's like he's overly emotional, right? He needs to tone it down. It's like, okay. And then I also hear, I never see him get in a player's face. It's like, I saw him yell at Kingsley Enagbare as hard as I've seen, with the exception of Jonathan Gannon literally hitting his guy. Like, that's as mad as I've openly seen a player and a coach. Like, so I think people just, and fan is short for fanatic after all. I think sometimes people just kind of pick and choose and just remember and focus on the things they want to pick and choose and focus and remember.
I do think he's too emotional. And
Pete Doherty said that on Bill's show today, and I'm going to cut that sound and play it. I'm like, okay, if he says that, I think there's something to that. Like, if Pete Doherty
said Matt's too emotional,
he says he's an emotional guy.
Interesting.
Play take after their head coach, and he cited that early Savion Williams fumble. He's like, it's been a common theme in his tenure where an early mistake knocks them off track, and they really can't recover.
Yeah,
but not emotional in a good way, like unhinged emotion.
That's not Pete saying he cries on the sideline. Yeah. That's saying he gets worked up about things, and his team gets worked up about.
Well, and then he's going again. It is impossible, I think, for the human, for the vast majority of humans, when you're emotional or you're unhinged, it you're not going to make the same decisions in the same way with the same crispness in the heat of the moment. You're just not.
He comes into these games like he's ice skating on, thin ice, I guess. Or like he's walking over a bridge that's rickety. Like he's just trying not to, he's trying to survive. He's trying to, he wants to win, but he's not trying. He's
trying to win all these games by 3 points.
I don't like him.
Okay? We know. Yes, correct.
But I want him to know.
Grant, maybe you don't care. I was going to ask you a question I don't think you care about. Do you like him, Grant? I don't think you care about the answer to that.
I love these questions that aren't like, it's this Jiminy Glick had a skit where he's like, what's John Voight so angry about? I don't need an answer. And then he just flips the page and moves on to the next one. Like, Bart, I love the question that doesn't need the answer.
Bart taught his callers this week about what rhetorical means. I heard that.
Some of guys, I have a rhetorical question if you could answer, please.
I'm really so indifferent on Matt LaFleur, the person. I think if a coach is winning, I'm like, yeah, I really like what that guy's saying. And if they're losing, they find a way to annoy you. And I think that's true of every person. Size, weight, height, hair, creed, race, I don't think it matters.
So don't you, here's the thing. Like, I think when
I might look up his address and send him junk mail.
I think when I would say this, from the outside looking in of Buffalo, if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl, I don't think any Packers fan who also observes the NFL will be surprised when Sean McDermott is not brought back if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl. That's what I believe. I think there'd be one too many times where you've been that close and the one guy couldn't get you there. Is it McDermott's fault? Don't know. But you can't lose to the Chiefs again in the playoffs after beating them in the regular season. You can't
get 5 years in a row.
You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You'd have to do something different. Even if you're like, I don't think this is McDermott's fault. I think you just kind of have to at that point. But yet I think when we look at then the Packers with LaFleur, not that it's an identical situation as McDermott with Buffalo, but I think it's like, well, of course he'll be back. The seat's not nearly hot enough to consider not being back. And the thing that keeps popping into my head is, and we've talked about this, Ed Policy is not going to let LaFleur go into a lame duck season. And also, if LaFleur is not re-signed this upcoming offseason, LaFleur is a lame duck, which Ed Policy isn't for. So this is literally the last chance. This season is the last chance.
He's in a contract year.
He's in a contract year. He is in his own version, I guess, of the lame duck season, because he's going to do well enough to get re-signed for 4, 5, 6 years. That's your typical NFL head coach contract extension amount or length. Or he's going to be a lame duck, at which point he'll be fired. And I just don't know what the excuse would be, short of a Jordan Love injury or a Micah Parsons injury or something else, that you could be like justifying in January if they lost before the Super Bowl. I just don't. I mean, like, the Eagles are better.
They got to go to the Super Bowl. They got to. I'm sorry. NFC Championship is not enough.
Like, if you lose in a last second field goal.
He drafted Jordan Love. Like, this is his guy. He's developed for 6 years, and he doesn't trust him. Then you don't trust yourself. And that's the problem. Matt LaFleur does not have confidence in himself.
I think you said this on your postgame show, Bart. You said when LaFleur was running the offense in Tennessee and had Derrick Henry, he didn't run the ball enough. Now he has a shitty running game and runs the ball too much. Doesn't make sense. It's not like he's always been this run first guy. He had 24-year-old Derrick Henry and like kind of, let's throw it around the field.
When is he going to do the McCarthy desperate move of giving up play calling and taking it back 2 weeks later? When are we doing that?
I have no interest in that ever happening. He shouldn't either.
Really?
No. Okay, I don't get upset. Do you know how far my eyes roll back into my head when I see a link to a story at a Packers blog? Is it time for Matt LaFleur to give up play calling?
Yeah, they give up play calling. I mean, Matt LaFleur just needs to call better plays.
Yeah.
It's like, give up play calling. I don't like doing that either. That's when I see, like, college coach gets 2-game suspension for handing out pizzas at election day. Well, I do not care.
Here's why I'll push back. I mean, I was on the beat when McCarthy gave up play calling, and it was a big deal, obviously, especially because I think he did it like in mid-December, if memory serves correctly.
To Tom Clemens?
Yes, to Tom Clemens.
For James Keene?
No, I think it was.
Edgar Bennett?
Oh, actually, another good. Who was it? Anyway, regardless.
Jim?
Ron.
Just tell us in her ear if you look it up. But that was a big deal. If that hadn't happened in recent Packers history, I think we could dismiss the idea of a Packers play calling head coach giving up play calling as just a blogosphere thing. It's not. Who was the head coach last week who just gave up play calling? In the NFL. Yes.
For the second straight year.
And so I don't.
He's also given up a lot. Like, all he does is punch in and punches out. He's like the only coach in the NFL that actually works a 9-to-5. He's just like, how are we doing in there? Okay, good. How are the wide receivers? All right. I'm going to take a long lunch.
The idea of like, should
we play Shadur? Don't you ever ask me that fucking question again.
And I'm not proposing it, but I also don't think it's like a ridiculous throw that idea aside thing. Maybe it is for clicks. Maybe some people are using it for clicks. But again, in recent Packers history, it has happened.
Well, 10 years ago, and it was in the middle of a very bad season. I just, at that point, you're done. You're cooked. It's like, should I hand off play calling? Should I give my wife a hall pass? Like, it's the same, proverbially speaking, it's the same thing. Like, you don't come back from that. You could delay. You could feign, let's try this. But it's not, it's ending.
Either. So, honey, I know things have been a little stale. Remember my friend from college that you've always been attracted to? He's going to come over tonight. I'll sit in the corner chair and watch. They're a real good time.
But Grant, so what you're saying, though, is then it's less about that he should or shouldn't and more that he just won't.
I just want to see you happy, honey. That's what I'm looking for.
Because it's bad for his future.
You want Adam Stenovich calling the plays?
I don't know.
What's Matt LaFleur's best trait?
Convincing us that he's gonna fix things.
Okay. What do you think his best trait is?
This is smarter than what I would be able to give you. So I would just relay what the smart Theo Lofskys and the Greg Olsons have said, which is the play design, some of the pre-planning of
Yeah, like when you put trips left, you know it's going to be a screen every single goddamn time.
All right, Bart, mute his mic.
Tim,
he schemes guys open really well. I mean, I'm just gonna regurgitate the stuff that, like I said, Orlovsky and Greg Olsen have said. That seems to be what LaFleur does well. Whether or not he then knows in the game setting what to do with it. So again, I'm not here to. I think if the Packers don't make the Super Bowl, I think LaFleur is not back. Unless it's like a last second Eagles field goal type of thing. Like I, because again, he's not going to do lame. This is not like
get a 2 to 3 year extension, Paul. He's not going to get fired.
See, but I don't agree with that. I'm not saying that one situation or two situations when I was covering the team make everything absolute, but McCarthy and coaches like that, and now LaFleur in the situation, they're not okay with like the, oh, just give me a 2 year extension. We'll call it. That's usually not agreed upon. It's usually like, I want the 4 to 6 extra years.
Why should Matt LaFleur care? If he lost his job, he'd be hired in 3 seconds.
Apparently.
Three seconds.
Why is that always the, it's like a random Tuesday in July. And
you can't even pick up the phone and dial the number in 3 fucking seconds.
It's not true. It's never been true. It wasn't true of Vrabel. It wasn't true of McCarthy.
Yeah, Vrabel had to go. I saw Vrabel in the Cleveland airport once. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? He looks familiar. Then I looked up Mike Vrabel, and he's like, and a coaching assistant for Cleveland for a year.
I also am still not convinced that Mike Vrabel is this great coach. I think he just has Drake May now, but that's, I guess, secondary.
Does Vrabel call the defense?
I don't know. I think so. I just learned Mike McDonald does for Seattle.
Yeah. The singer?
Not Mike McDonald.
So real quick, to tie a bow on the question, Grant, where is LaFleur's Packers fan approval rating right now?
I would say 55, 45, 60, 40, something like that. Okay. But again, the side that isn't approving is like, man, he need to get a little better there. It's not like this guy is a moron and I hate his hair. And if we don't fire him, like I'm going to lose my mind. Like it's not Bart. The other side is like, hasn't really been good enough. I'm going to figure that out.
And then to that point, Bart, you answer first. Where's LaFleur's approval rating right now? Among Packer fans specifically.
70s.
Wow. I'm much closer to Grant's number. I think your Facebook pushback comments are skewing you.
I think Facebook is a fairly representative sample. What do you mean? Just like your group chat with your uncle and brother. I don't even know why we're doing this pod. We have a perfectly good understanding of what people are saying.
I don't know. I get, yeah, maybe not. And so Bart, let me ask you this then, based on your 70-30 thing. LaFleur's approval rating will never be below 50% with Packers fans until the day he's no longer the Packers coach. Essentially what I'm saying is at least 50% of the fan base will support him until the day they're told to stop supporting him. If you understand the premise of my thought.
Yeah, I think he just always, I mean, I think he just gets the benefit of the doubt. I think he gets the benefit of the doubt because he has had so much regular season success, which he has.
And because it's only like half of the fan base in your, they're going to support the Packers coach because that's their job to support the Packers coach because he's the Packers coach.
Yeah. Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of the people that watch the Packers,
I want to hear what I need to hear what you want to say, but feel that you can't.
No,
this would be from the producers of if you live in a town smaller than blah, blah, blah.
That's a lot of people that I'm thinking of fit that mold, but that's not my thought. I think a lot of, I'm going to refer to them as this. Okay. This is a new one. A lot of Packer fans in the state are what I'm going to call iceberg fans, where they just see and care and know the top that is presented to them.
Interesting.
They are not aware of any of the minutiae and the day-to-day, but they see the iceberg. They know the iceberg's there, and they think they see everything. They don't know that there's more underneath. They love the Packers. Like, their nicest shirt is Packers clothing. They go to the potlucks every Sunday. They wear the jerseys. They talk about it with their buddies. They've got the man cave that's decked out in Dorsey Levin's apparel. They love the Packers. Packer fandom's going to be in their obituary.
It's a religion.
Yes. They care about it so, so much. But they also are very dense and don't understand all the rest that goes into the Packers. So it's like they just know the frosting. They don't eat the cake. Okay? These are iceberg fans.
Have you tested this out or is this new?
This is another Bart Winkler off the cuff.
This is his testing. You think he's testing shit to bring to this podcast? This is where he tests.
You're right. That's fair. The only thing I would say is...
No, I don't. What do you guys think about Shohei Ohtani knowing more English than he's letting on? Conspiracy? He's guilty, right?
I heard that one on the national show, actually. Believe it or not, Grant, yes, that's actually something he did talk about.
My actual number is 75.
Wow, okay.
Because that leaves 25, which is also the number of savings percent-wise that you can get at happyplacehemp.com. That's right. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. We're talking on the seltzers, the gummies, all their different products, some with the THC, some with just the CBD. Some will help you sleep. Some will help you focus. Some help you relax on a good old Saturday night, watching a little baseball, a little 11-inning baseball game. 25 million people watch that. There's that number again. It's everywhere I go. And who did I just reference as a random Packer?
Dorsey Levens.
Remember what he wore? 25. I'm doing it subconsciously. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. Use the promo code BART. You know what I think I've been thinking about this for the new year? I think I want to change my background a little bit.
But okay. The green is so iconic. Oh, your wall in the... Oh, okay.
I think I might add some depth perception today.
Yikes.
What do we think about this?
I guess much worse.
It's not my Christmas stuff. I'm gonna ride it. Let's just play around with it.
Great.
I'm moving the ring light Matt bought me.
All right.
Isn't it nice to have a little DP? Look at this sweet fucking mirror. Planters.
That had
depth perception.
Huh?
Is that what he was saying? DP was depth perception?
DP can be depth perception, Dr. Pepper, or another thing. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I was talking. Yeah. It's not double penny, guys.
Okay. All right. That's the thing you try with your wife after you give her a hall pass. And then you completely and totally call it. That's the football equivalent of firing the.
Then she moves in with her sister.
Yeah.
All right. I texted you.
I like this.
It's fine.
What?
I'm perfectly fine with it.
I think this adds a whole world to this.
I think you're just overestimating the extent to which it matters.
What do you mean?
I'm saying it's fine.
No, I'm going to add one more touch.
This is a fucking podcast. There's 18 people that watch this on YouTube.
There are dozens of them.
Dozens!
In Walmart's Hulu-ville, everyone readied their cart. The early Black Friday deals are about to start. Online and in the app, such great deals to explore. Everything you love from tech, toys, and more. The days to save and the ones to remember are the 14th to the 16th of November. The who's are all ready, but are you? Walmart Black Friday deals await. Who knew?
You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Oh, it's a map of Wisconsin. All right.
I told you guys on Friday there was a Bucks topic I was really excited to ask you about, and 4 or 5 days later, here we go. There's two parts, both of which involve the name Ryan Rollins. If Ryan Rollins is Austin Reeves, the Bucks are a legit contender this year. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
What if you asked this 3 weeks ago? Austin Reeves wasn't even Austin Reeves.
Fine.
He was good. He wasn't 40 points a night good.
No, but he was still like, you're going to say like, oh, he's the third best player on a good team. If Ryan Rollins is Austin Reeves, the Bucks are a legit contender. Mm-hmm or mm-mm. There's a part B to this, but let's hit this one first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's what they needed.
Yes.
Even look at the game against Indiana. And they have to the Raptors on Wednesday night here.
Correct.
Or Tuesday night. So this game, or the Pistons. What am I talking about? Pacers.
No, it's Toronto.
They just had Indiana. Now they have Toronto.
I would like to reference the game they played on Monday. Was that against the Indiana Pacers?
It was. Yes.
Yeah. So it's the last possession of the game, and Giannis has the ball. Giannis is the ball carrier.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Doc explained this after the game as
well.
And
he made the decision, and he took a shot, and he made it. And I know that he's – that's a shot that he's been working on for 3 years to try to make the game winner, and I'm glad it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, Dame takes it up. And then what does Dame do? Dame drives. Dame gets stuck. Dame throws it to AJ Green, and he misses. Or it's the playoffs, and they can't even inbound the fucking basketball.
He missed his family.
I know.
But what you're speaking to is there's a real defined clarity this year in a way that maybe there wasn't last season.
It's not about Ryan Rollins, which is a huge help. But this is about Giannis to me and what he's able to do more of. Now, the game winner was awesome. Also, did you see the way people were reading into his Miles Turner comments?
No, I don't know if I saw that.
No. He was like, Miles Turner, everyone's booing him. This guy was here 10 years. He gave you his whole career up to this point.
Oh.
And sometimes in life, people make changes and they want to leave. Oh, and then they come back and you're just going to boo them? It's like, what was the whole point of that? And everyone's like,
I didn't
soft launch. Soft launch.
I did not think that nor see that suggested.
That clip was really good. My favorite part of that clip was Giannis using camaraderie. Hey, for someone who like doesn't speak English as a first language, like he rips it and his accent just makes some of those words funny. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not making fun of him. It's impressive. But no, I didn't think of that framing, Bart. That's funny.
I heard Shohei say that this was the favorite, most favorite rendition of a World Series he's ever played in.
Yeah, well, must be nice.
But yeah, Rollins, I mean, yes, he is. We didn't think he was. He's on a 3-year, $12 million deal and he's
unbelievable.
He's playing, with all due respect, this last 2 weeks, very small sample size.
Sure.
But don't you think if Dame came over and played like that in his first 2 weeks, he'd be a lot more excited?
He missed his family.
Yeah.
Grant. I'm going to request a trade and then be angry about where I go.
And then go back to where you requested to leave. Where your head
better the light is in this angle.
It's great, Bart. Grant, if Ryan Rollins is Austin Reeves, the Bucks are a legit contender. Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's a matter of shot creation. It's a matter of shot creation because that's probably the thing they lack the most, especially without Kevin Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Giannis can create and facilitate. Turner can create some things, but not as much.
He's going to space you more than he's going to like shot create.
Yeah. And he can create a little, but not like, so AJ Green and Gary Trent Jr. will be open when Giannis draws attention and can hit shots. Trent was big in that in the closing minutes of the Pacers game, but like, can another guy just break down the weakest defender on the floor and get to a little jumper? Right. And like, if Rollins can just do that, and that's kind of what Austin Reeves is, just like a shot creator. To the point now where when I listen to Nick Wright and Cowherd, they're like, man, when LeBron comes back, there's only one ball, Luka, Reeves, and LeBron. Like, now he's entered that territory. So, yeah if he can be a poor man's Austin Reeves just a guy who can create some shots? Yeah, because I don't know. Have you been blown away by the East so far this year?
Well, the other thing about the Bucks too is, like, they are obviously trying to make Giannis stay and keep Giannis here, but they have built a team that works around him. That's why the Nuggets were so good. Yes. They just built a team around Jokic. Like, what? Yes. How do we maximize Jokic? Get guys that will maximize Jokic. Yeah. So with Giannis, you need a center that can move a little more. Space they got one in Miles Turner, which I still don't understand how a lot of people scoffed at that signing. That was exactly what they needed.
Exactly what they needed.
You were always saying we need younger guys that can shoot the ball.
Got it.
We got that.
Yes.
I mean, are they going to be good enough to win a title? You know, we will see.
These are the
they've got a lot better chance than I thought they did in May.
These are the kind of, I think a lot of times these are like the luck things you fall into that when you fall into them at the right moment, changes your trajectory. And if you just have a series of where it's like, you just never quite like, you know, the
boat. Even KPJ getting hurt to allow Rollins to have more time.
And even that, right. Where the Indiana game, Rollins played 36 minutes. We, you know, I couldn't the idea that Kevin Porter Jr. has started his last game at point guard for the Bucks, or he lost his job due to injury, and it's not. I think it's I don't know how you move Rollins back to the bench at this point, but it's like what is amazing is sometimes when you only have a game like a baseball. If you had a baseball player who you weren't expecting in Major League Baseball to, he came out of nowhere.
He's not gonna, Collins.
But well, think of a better like a better player than that. But someone who it's like goes from like we just signed him in this offseason to a 3-year deal, and you know he's probably gonna be a backup. We didn't exactly, and now he's like your third best player. That doesn't change a baseball team's trajectory because of how much more needs to happen in the NBA. Like that one guy where you suddenly out of thin air find your third best player or your, you know, whatever. Like I'd say, you know, if he becomes Austin Reeves and he's your unquestioned third best player, who you were expecting to be your ninth best player 2 weeks ago. That changes everything from a trajectory perspective. Here's question number two. The biggest factor of Giannis staying in Milwaukee for the next 5 years is the continued development of Ryan Rollins and AJ Green. That is the biggest factor. If those guys go from, again, who's our guy that just said a week ago that those are the two best value contracts now in the NBA with Rollins on a 3-12 and AJ Green on a 4-40 or whatever it is. Their continued development, Greens and Rollins, is the biggest factor of Giannis staying in Milwaukee for the next 5 years.
Did Paul freeze?
Oh, I thought you guys did. Hi.
No, you froze. I'll go.
Did you hear?
Probably, Paul. Probably. Because who else?
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about the fit with Miles Turner, maybe.
Sure.
I don't think. Giannis, they need to win for him to stay. I also think he's...
But that's the point, though, is like if Rollins and Green are third and fourth best players, and not just like third and fourth players on an okay team, but third and fourth best players on a championship team, they might have like sort of lucked. I mean, there's luck involved, right? They didn't draft them third overall. That's not luck. They might have like kind of lucked their way into finding their third and fourth best players. And if they did... I just think it changes the entire thing. Go ahead.
I'm gonna write that down for my show, actually. What did you say, Bart? They need to win for Giannis to stay.
And this is the analysis that really elevates.
Okay, continue.
You fucking asshole.
Well, you go ahead.
I don't think it matters what personnel moves they do. As long as they're winning, I also think that Giannis is going to leave. It's pretty clear he's setting it up for that.
In the next 5 years, though? I mean, again, that I was almost going to say
Giannis will not be here in 5 years.
Yeah, I'd bet against it.
5 years? How old is he right now?
30 or 29.
Oh, okay. Shit. He is 30. He's 31 next month. Giannis is going to finish his career in Europe.
I was going to say, if he's still here in 3 years, what the fuck's the point? You know what I mean? Like, if he's not leaving this offseason and they have a good 2-3 year window, like, what? You're going to go to Houston?
But that's the thing is, like, the East is so unbelievably weak right now and winnable. So
the Magic, though, I mean, fuck. And the Hawks. These are the teams that are being sold to me. This is their year, I'm sure.
I believe that's the matchup on NBC tonight, I think, is Magic and Hawks.
I'll be able to watch it with my antenna, actually, unlike any other sports product that I'm being carried these days.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize this many people had YouTube TV.
I do. I'm very pissed.
I would say the majority of people who own some sort of provider own YouTube
TV. DirecTV's never let me down.
I mean, I agree. I also am a DirecTV guy, but
you have a dish?
Yeah, but no, even when it rains now, you don't need a dish anymore. But when it rains, they're like, oh, shit, bad weather. Let's give you the internet feed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People are acting like it's I can't get a dish. I got a big oak tree in the backyard. Oh, shucks. You get it on fucking internet, just like your stupid ass fucking YouTube TV.
Why would you want the dish version then?
You don't need it anymore. I don't even think they install it anymore.
Oh, I see.
I don't have it.
But I do have it, and I'll never take it down, because when people come to my house and drive by, I want them to know that I've been a loyal DirecTV customer for 20 years outside of when we first moved here. We took my wife's Spectrum account. I fucking hated it. We got rid of it after a month. Even when I worked at Charter, I got the free Charter in my room. Me and my roommate still paid for DirecTV.
Wow.
I would just like to point out, I am both a DirecTV and a YouTube TV subscriber when it suits me for show purposes. Because saying that I have YouTube TV these days allows me to ingratiate myself with the masses. But saying I have DirecTV, which I actually do, actually allows me to just tell everyone to get cable, which is what they should have done 2 or 3 years ago. There's people who have Hulu Live TV who's like, well, the Brewers will be back soon. You moron. You haven't been able to watch your teams for years, and you're holding on. For what?
I saw somebody tweet, like, because Adam Schefter was like, hey, here's where you got to go. Here's the website. And someone's like, stop telling us what to do. Just give us the fucking channel.
Yeah. Blow me, buddy.
I got one other question. You guys anything else on Bucks?
No,
but did you see this article on Barstool, since I already referenced them?
Yes.
Matt LaFleur is no balls and need to give up play calling. And look at that picture.
There you go.
See, it's not just us.
You guys are both petless individuals, yes?
Correct.
We had a fish for 4 days. And then
I heard the fish story. That was sadder than I wanted it to be, the fish story that I heard you tell. You just killed the fish.
The ending of the story was my son, we put it in the toilet, and he was like, I'm sad about this fish. And he looked at it and he goes, can I pee on it?
I did not hear that part of it. Having said that, are you petless people? You are with Tom Brady, who cloned his dog. This is a good idea, and you will
cloned his dog.
You don't know this yet. This blew up this morning, probably while you were sleeping. He took blood from his about to die dog, worked with a cloning company who then cloned his dog with the blood of that original dog died, and now he has the same dog?
I'll bring that up tonight.
I almost sent it to you guys, and I'm going to save it for just in case Bart's behind on his Tom Brady news to get your reaction, which I just got. But then the part two of it is like, my first thought was like sending it to you guys. This is really gross, and I hate this. And then I thought, as a dog owner, I might.
If you lose somebody.
I might. I hate it. I want to be against it. I think I'm in the wrong side of this. By even saying the word might.
But it's not them.
What makes someone who they are or what it is?
But you're doing it for you. You're not, it's not them. Even if I were to die and my wife would, well, she'd probably just be like, next. But if she cloned me, it would just be doing that for her.
Okay.
I wouldn't still be me anymore. And so whatever I was...
Is it different, though, when it's a pet?
No.
No?
I mean, if you cloned a gerbil,
maybe.
So remember when Dolly got cloned, Paul, in like 96?
The sheep?
Yes. Yes.
Didn't you think that was, I thought in 10 years I was going to be seeing like seven versions of my friend Tony.
Little did you know that you are. And you
right. Right. The cloning was like, boom, here's the biggest thing in the world. And 2 weeks later, it was like, yeah, we're good. Next.
Yeah.
What?
The Santa Claus 3 brought cloning into the mainstream too. Don't forget about the Tim Allen Santa Claus 2.
Some of these face masks you can put on now.
That was 2, you Tim Allen casual. 3 was the Jack Frost.
You're right. I'm sorry.
With
Santa Claus 2. That was when it was a hot time. And honestly, I'm sure that was part of the storyline because the sheep had just been cloned.
Santa Claus 2, The Escape Clause is actually which one that was.
Thank you.
3 was the one with Martin Short as Jack Frost, which is great. It's very rare that a movie can continue to back itself up like that, but that one did.
I have to go. Please talk more about cloning pets and or.
So there were no trades other than the Jets ones?
Shit, I forgot to look.
There's not been. I've been up on it for you guys. And
I think the Cowboys are too little too late, but.
Well, I mean, you're not a defensive lineman, even a very good one, away from. Yeah.
I just think after last, I quit on the Cowboys after last night because Jerry Jones is out there right, like, and him sitting next to Stephen A. Smith. Like, what are we doing?
By the way,
such a loser.
I almost sent this to you guys. Also, did you see Stephen A. Smith turned his? I got ads for this on Twitter. He turned his solitaire NBA Finals thing into a sponsorship.
I mean, that's what you have to do when you get caught doing something naughty. You got to run into it.
All right. I got to go. Talk to you guys soon. Always fun chatting.
See you, Paul.
Bye. See you, Paul. Paul Emig.
Do you want my Brady very briefly?
I'll take your Brady.
I just think Michael Jordan provided the perfect playbook on how to be the GOAT. And it's to just live as this mythical. It's like to live like Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine. Like, just what everyone remembers of you, just let them remember that. And appearances and public things, very limited. Very, very, because anything that you do can only harm your reputation, right?
Yeah, but if LeBron is the same post-career as Jordan, if he was the owner of an NBA franchise, he would get raked over the coals.
Different
era.
If he got
$40 million from NBC to say nothing, he wouldn't be like, oh yeah, load management. If he owned a NASCAR team and like got sued, people be like, oh, this five guy fucking, like, yeah, Jordan, you know, no social media. Mm-hmm. No social media.
Everything that Brady does is makes me look, he's a lizard person. That's what he comes across.
Right. He looks like one.
And then I read this, I'm like, of course Brady did that. Because God forbid he just gets a golden retriever like a normal person. You know what I mean? Like, of course he's got a, I don't
know. Also, the longer you can't choose to not process grief. That's a very human experience.
You say that's what he's doing?
Well, yeah, if you just replace your dog.
Oh, I thought you meant with his divorce.
Well, no, he just dates young hotties. Mm. Grief always catches up to you, no matter what you try to do to put it off. And I think we're in there. Yeah. I think Paul, grief always catches up with you, no matter what you do to put it off. So don't clone your fucking dog, Paul.
Well stated, as it were.
Thank you all for stopping into the Winklerverse. Please like and subscribe.
In Walmart's Who Knewville, everyone ready their cart. The early Black Friday deals are about to start. Online and in the app, such great deals to explore. Everything you love from tech, toys, and more. The days to save and the ones to remember are the 14th to the 16th of November. The Who's are all ready, but are you? Walmart Black Friday deals await. Who knew?